Good Tuesday. Today is November the 11th, and you're listening to My Farm. Well, the EPA Renewable Fuel Standard exemptions, RINs, all that with biofuels making agricultural headlines. We're going to take a look at what's going on when it comes to small refinery exemption and the biofuels industry. We'll be back with that and more after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants. Simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
Taking a look at your agricultural headlines, the Trump administration granted two full small refinery exemptions, 50% exemptions on 12 petitions, and denied two other petitions for compliance years 2021 to 2024, the U.S. EPA said in a renewable fuel standard announcement today. The announcement comes as the agency also considers public comment made on a proposal to reallocate biofuels gallons lost on 140 partial and full exemptions granted by the administration recently. With most of the old petitions now cleared, the EPA is committed to working with the Department of Energy to address new petitions as quickly as possible and within the 90-day statutory review period, the EPA said in their release. Furthermore, on September the 16th of this year, the agency announced a supplemental notice of proposed rulemaking that takes into consideration the expected impacts of the August 22nd SRE decisions. Now, the EPA is reviewing comments on the supplemental proposed rule, and the agency continues to work on final regulations for the Set 2 rule, as stated in the supplemental proposal. The EPA intends to update the agency's projections of exempted gasoline and diesel volumes in the final rules based on any additional SREs that are issued after the proposal, including the petition's decision in this action. The EPA reaffirmed the agency's policy of returning the Renewable Fuel Standard compliance credits, known as those Renewable Identification Numbers, or RINs, previously retired for compliance when a small refinery receives an exemption for a period compliance year, the agency said. Now, Jeff Cooper, president and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association, said in a statement that he questions the EPA's decisions. Today, the EPA created an even more uncertain and confusion in the renewable fuel and agriculture markets, which already under immense pressure from record corn and soybean harvest this fall. The EPA added another 14 small refinery exemptions to the already massive pile today based on the agency's questionable new approach to determining whether those refiners experienced, quote, disproportionate economic hardship. Cooper said the RFA continues to dispute the notion that the SREs are, quote, warranted at all, since the agency's own analysis shows all the refiners, large and small, face proportional RFS compliance obligations and pass their RIN costs through to buyers of their refined products. The silver lining here is that the EPA is returning expired RINs to the six refineries who were granted exemption from their 2021 and 2022 RFS obligations, he said. However, more than 500 million valid RINs will be issued to eight refineries who were gifted exemptions for their 2023 and 2024 obligations, meaning there are now more than 2.5 billion RINs associated with 2023 through 2025 SREs that are likely to be dropped back onto the market as months ahead come about. Now, Cooper said if the EPA decides not to reallocate those volumes when it finalizes the 2026 and 2027 RFS volumes, the impact on biofuel and agriculture markets could be devastating. He said the EPA's decision further underscores the, quote, crucial need for the EPA to finalize the 2026-2027 renewable volume obligations that fully reallocate any and all SREs granted or expected to be granted for the 2023 through 2027 compliance years. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, sir. We're going to change directions now and take a little bit of time the next day or so in the second segments and talk about conservation practices and actually adding conservation practices to your operation if you're not already doing some of those. NAFB member Stephanie Haw files this report.
Rachel Barresso wears many hats. She's a beef farmer, an agriculture advocate, and a conservation coach. On her family's farm near Royalton, she practices rotational grazing and works to help other farmers overcome challenges challenges of starting their own conservation journey. Today, she tells us what it takes to make conservation work for your farm.
I think a lot of it's connecting with the resources, knowing what organizations can offer funding, as well as a lot of the technical assistance, as well as kind of finding people that share your why and the reasons that we care for about conservation and conservation in agriculture. I think a lot of the barrier is more of a perception of risk and then not knowing what there is available to support you.
Let's talk with that first point you made. It almost sounded like finding a community, right? People that you can rely on to swap ideas, network, plan. What are some of those key resources or organizations that you recommend?
That's 100% it. Be able to connect with people that can not only give you advice, but also kind of present you with new innovative ideas and kind of challenge you, as well as kind of being, like I said, almost that planning role, that really, really supportive role. NRCS for me has been 100% the reason that my farm has been successful through the different cost sharing opportunities, as well as that technical assistance and that really collaborative relationship. For me, they've been, you know, my source, but there's also county conservation staffing, there's farmer-led groups, you know, finding those peers or someone you can connect with. And then within each of those groups, you know, they've got resources for kind of, like I said, kind of the financial planning, the cost sharing on it to implement these practices.
When the government shuts down, who do you rely on when NRCS, FSA, USDA's offices are closed? Is that an issue for you?
Oh, it's been a huge issue. I was out harvesting sorghum, my second cutting of sorghum, which was a new practice I just tried this year, which went awesome. I loved it. But that was the day the government shut down. I'd been working very closely with my NRCS staff, taking some of those forage quality measurements, that yield data. So now I'm kind of, you know, in what should be the last 2 weeks should have been kind of the most exciting days as someone that's worked with farmers through the whole planning process, the seeding process. What seeding rate are we going to do? Are we going to put fertilizer down? Each of those management considerations. I worked with NRCS as my team. So when they were gone, it was a pretty, I did shed a few tears in my tractor missing them and that they weren't able to be there for that. And I've talked to a few of them and they say they just want to work. This is a pretty critical time for planning ahead for next year as well. And that work is still there. They're so passionate about what they do. They learn from us as farmers. We learn from them. So, you know, without them, this is also kind of CSP. There's a couple of programs that payments should be going out that aren't right now. So, that, you know, just like anything else and what we've experienced before, that kind of puts everything on hold down the line as well.
And we'll be back with more from Stephanie and Rachel tomorrow. But for now, that's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.